بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise him and thank him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his Muslim nation from whatever he feared for his nation. Yesterday, we mentioned one of the miracles of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that took place about 2 years before the immigration of the Prophet to Medina. We said that Angel Jibril came one night while the Prophet was in the house of his cousin Hani in Mecca and cut open the chest of the Prophet, filled it with something that made the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stronger in preparation for what wonders he would be seeing. Then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Jibril rode an animal from paradise called Al-Buraq, the same animal that Prophet Ibrahim had ridden while visiting his son Ismail. And then from Mecca they went north, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam passed by several cities or towns: Al-Madina, Madian, Bethlehem, and Tur Sina. And he dismounted and prayed 2 rak'ahs in each of those towns. Then in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, all the prophets were gathered for him and he led them in prayer. And we mentioned few examples of wonderful things that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam saw during his trip, night trip Al-Isra, from Mecca to Jerusalem. Then we said there was another phase of this miracle, which is the ascending, the ascension of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam from Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa up to the 7 heavens. We said that the Prophet took Al-Mirqah, a staircase that led him to the first heaven, and in each of the 7 heavens that he went into, he had to take the permission of the gatekeeper, the angel who is in charge of that heaven. And the Prophet alayhi salam, Prophet Muhammad, met in each of these 7 heavens one or more prophets. Like he met Adam, he met with Isa and Yahya, he met Yusuf, he met Harun, Musa, Ibrahim, he met Idris also. In each of these heavens, he met one of those prophets, except he met Yahya and Isa together in the second heaven. Then we said the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam went to the 7th heaven, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled him to hear his eternal kalam, the kalam of Allah that does not resemble the speech of people. And the Prophet understood from the kalam of Allah that his nation must pray 5 times a day, that there are 5 obligatory prayers prescribed for his nation every day and night. And also the Prophet understood that if a Muslim does 1 good deed, then it will be multiplied by at least 10 times And if the person does a bad deed, it will be considered as one bad credit. Now, what we want to do is to go over some of the wonderful things that Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam saw during his ascension. Some of those are Malik, the angel who is the keeper of hellfire. Malik khazinun nar. So this angel Malik did not smile at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Prophet Muhammad asked Jibreel, why didn't Malik smile like the others, other angels? And angel Jibreel alayhi salam said, Malik has not smiled since God created him. Had he smiled at anyone, he would have smiled at you. So angel Malik did not smile at the Prophet because he never smiled before. And Malik is the name of this angel, the keeper of hellfire, Khazinun Nar. As for paradise, it has its own keeper also, and his name is Ridwan, Ridwan. Also, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam saw hellfire, Jahannam, and signs of who would be punished there in the future. He saw signs of who, which people would enter hellfire as a punishment for them. He said that most of the people in hellfire would be women. And he is stating a fact, alayhi salatu wasalam. So since that's what he saw, then the good attitude is for the women to avoid to their utmost effort what would lead them into hellfire. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also saw Sidratul Muntaha, Sidratul Muntaha, a great tree that has beauty that no one can describe. Butterflies made of gold cover it. Its base is in the sixth heaven, and it reaches up to the seventh. And the people, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he saw it, he saw it while being in the seventh heaven. Its name is mentioned in Al-Quran. عند سدرة المنتهى عندها جنة المأوى. Paradise, the Prophet saw paradise. Allah Azza wa Jal gave our Prophet the honor of entering it and seeing signs of who would be admitted there in the future. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam went into al-Jannah because the Prophet said دَخَلْتُ الْجَنَّةَ فَرَأَيْتُ أَهْلَ أَكْثَرَ أَهْلِهَا الْفُقَرَاءِ دَخَلْتُ الْجَنَّةَ فَرَأَيْتُ أَكْثَرَ أَهْلِهَا الْفُقَرَاءِ So the Prophet alayhi salam said that most of its people, of paradise people, would be the poor Muslims. For paradise, for hellfire, the Prophet did not enter hellfire. He said, اطلعتُ على النار فرأيتُ أكثر أهلها النساء. اطلعتُ. He didn't say دخلتُ. As for hellfire, the Prophet said, I saw. He didn't say, I entered hellfire. He said, I saw hellfire and I saw most of its inhabitants will be women. So make sure that you differentiate between these two things. So our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam on that night, the Prophet alayhi salam, although he saw some, he was in paradise, and he saw what type of people would be in paradise. However, he did not see, hear, or imagine certain enjoyment of paradise, which only God knows. And Allah has reserved those enjoyments for our Prophet and other highly righteous people in the hereafter. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned that in Al-Jannah فيها نعيم ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. So that it has enjoyments that are specific to specific Muslims. Not everyone in health in paradise would enjoy such enjoyments. So there are general enjoyments for every Muslim that enters paradise. And then there are special enjoyments for special Muslims. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not see or hear or even imagine such enjoyments. Even the angels of paradise don't know about them. They didn't see them. Only Allah knows about them. So Allah has installed them for the pious Muslims on the Day of Judgment. Angel Jibreel alayhi salam also was seen, means Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, on that night of Al-Mi'raj. He saw Jibreel in his real form, that he had 600 wings. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, this time when he saw him in his real form, he did not faint. If you remember, on earth at one time early in the prophethood, when Jibreel showed up his real form and blocked the whole horizon, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam fainted, could not see that a huge, you know, creation and be strong about it. This time Prophet Muhammad was strong enough to see the greatness of this great angel Jibreel alayhi salam, so he did not faint. Also, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, on the night of Mi'raj, he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his heart. It's very important that you say it correctly. Prophet Muhammad saw Allah with his heart. It means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled the heart of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam to see Allah himself. We don't say Muhammad saw Allah in his heart. We don't say Prophet Muhammad saw Allah in his heart. Ra'ahu biqalbi. Ma min ra'ahu fi qalbi. Ra'ahu biqalbi. He saw Allah with his heart. Now, of course, some Muslim scholars said that Muhammad saw Allah with his eyes. And others said Muhammad did not see Allah at all. So you have those three sayings, that Muhammad alayhi salam saw Allah with his heart on the Mi'raj night. You have a saying that Muhammad saw Allah with his eyes, the eyes of his head. And a third group who just deny. They say Muhammad alayhi salam did not see Allah on that night. And the only correct saying is the first saying, that Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam saw Allah with his heart. Now, if someone, those who said that Muhammad saw Allah with his eyes, are not misguided people. They are some of the Salaf who said such a saying. And similarly, those who say did not see Allah also. So we need to make sure that we understand this. So the correct saying is that Muhammad alayhi salam, or the correct saying is that Allah empowered the heart of Muhammad, and he saw Allah with his heart. Of course, we already said that we don't say Muhammad saw Allah in his heart, because we already mentioned it yesterday at the latest and before in many lessons, that Allah does not occupy spaces, and the heart is a space. After his trip, The Prophet alayhi salam returned to earth on the same night and told people of his night journey. So the following day, the Prophet met with some people of Mecca and he told them that he went from Mecca to Jerusalem. And since the blasphemers knew that Muhammad had never been to Jerusalem before, they mocked him and asked him to describe Baytul Maqdis. So they asked him, oh, so you went to Jerusalem, to Al-Quds, to Baytul Maqdis, and you came back on the same night? It takes us 1 month one way and 1 month to go back. You just took it overnight? You took that trip overnight? So if you really were there, describe Baytul Maqdis, the Masjid Al-Aqsa there. And you know Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam went at night and he did not take a tour all over the place. He was not a tourist. Okay? So he went at night and did not visit the, you know, the facilities of the place. He just went and led the prophets in prayer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the whole masjid appear in front of the prophet's eyes, and the prophet started describing the masjid, Baytul Maqdis, in details that those who were present and had gone before to Baytul Maqdis had to admit that the description was exact. That the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave an exact description of Baytul Maqdis. And still, some people did not believe. Some scholars said that the night journey to Baytul Maqdis, Isra, and the ascension of the Prophet to the heavens, and then his return to Mecca, all occurred during 1/3 of the night. So our scholar said that the whole trip from Mecca back to Mecca, Mecca to Jerusalem, Jerusalem to the seven heavens, seven heavens back to Mecca, all of that took place within 1/3 of the night. And the Prophet alayhi salam went physically to these places. It was neither a dream nor a spiritual lift. Some people may say, some people say that he saw this in the dream, or that he just was elevated spiritually, symbolic. What the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he did go in person, means by body and soul, to these places, to Baytul Maqdis, to the seven heavens. He went into paradise, he came back, he went in person to these places. May Allah keep us guided on the straight path. Praise to Allah, the one who has the power over everything. Now, concerning seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, لَن تَرَوْ رَبَّكُمْ حَتَّى تَمُوتُوا. You will not see your Lord until you die. And we know in Al-Quran, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاضِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاضِرَةٌ. That on the day of judgment, the believers, while they are in paradise, they will have enjoyments. And the best enjoyment that they will receive is to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will enable those believers to see with their new eyes the reality of Allah himself. And Allah will be seen differently from the way a creation is usually seen. He will not be at a distance from those believers. He will not be in a certain directions from them. And they will see, as the Prophet said, they will see the one who does not resemble anything. So they will be certain in their hearts that they see Allah. They will see the one who doesn't look like anything else. He is different from his creation. So the Muslims, those believers, will have certitude in their hearts. They saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some Muslims will see Allah more often than others, depending on their level, their status. So in this life, we know that Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, while awake, he saw Allah on the Mi'raj night, on the Ascension night. Before we start a new chapter, is there any question about Isra or Mi'raj? لن تروا ربكم حتى تموتوا رواه مسلم. Chapter 13, people of Yathrib believe. Now, at the time of Hajj pilgrimage, which the blasphemers were doing in an invalid way, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام used to meet with various tribes and invite them to Islam. So the season of Hajj is a good season to meet different types of people, because the Arabs from different areas of the peninsula, they would come to perform Hajj, just like nowadays Muslims from different parts of the earth just go to perform Hajj at the Kaaba. So at the time, the Arabs, those idol worshippers, were doing acts of Hajj that were different from the acts that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam called to. For example, they would go around Al-Kaaba naked, and they would, you know, whistle and clap. And that's not the way Prophet Ibrahim made tawaf around the Kaaba. So Prophet Muhammad used to just go and meet with various people, calling them to Islam. During one of these times, he met with a group from Yathrib, and this is the same place that would become Al-Madinatul Munawwara, the illuminated city. So Yathrib is a city north of Mecca, about 200 miles north. So the Prophet alayhi salam called them to Islam, and they believed. They embraced Islam. They said to him, after they embraced Islam, we will return to Yathrib, to their city, and convey Islam to our relatives there. So we became Muslim. Now, when we return to our city, we will invite our relatives to Islam. They also told the Prophet alayhi salam that they would meet with him the following year. So they said they will be back to Mecca, and there will be a meeting with him the following year. When they returned to Medina, they called people to Islam, and some of the people there became Muslim. And these people who believed became to be known as Al-Ansar, the Ansar, the supporters. In the following year, 12 men from the Ansar came and gave allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They had a bay'ah with the Prophet, allegiance. They said, what was the allegiance about? What was the commitment about? They said that they would not associate partners with Allah. They would not steal. They would not fornicate. They will not kill their children. And we already mentioned that this was a practice of some Arabs to kill their children, bury their daughters alive, either out of poverty, claiming that they cannot support them, or under the pretense of saving their honor. They don't want their daughters to be caught, you know, in their wars or battles with the other tribes. So during the Jahiliyyah, some Arabs used to kill their children. So these Ansar, these supporters, people from Yathrib who believed the previous year, and then 12 of them came the following year, they committed themselves, they paid the promise, they paid allegiance to the Prophet that they will not associate partners with Allah, they will not steal, they will not fornicate, they will not kill their children. And the Prophet alayhi salatu was salam, and also they said they will not disobey the Prophet alayhi salam. So the Prophet sent one of the companions from Mecca named Mus'ab ibn Umair. He sent Mus'ab ibn Umair with these Ansar to teach the people of Medina, the Muslims in Medina, religious matters. And as a result, later, many of the residents of Medina became Muslim. So more residents of Al-Madinah became Muslim. Until, means to the extent that there was no single family in Medina without having a Muslim in it. Until every single family had at least one Muslim in it. So there was no house in Al-Madinah which is devoid of having at least a Muslim. MashaAllah. Now, during the next season of Hajj, around 70 of the Ansar came to Mecca and gave allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam during the night. So now you could see more of them came back, because as we said, more became Muslim in Al-Madinah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to our Prophet that he and his followers must immigrate to Al-Madinah. The revelation came to the Prophet that it is now an obligation upon the Prophet and his followers to immigrate to this place called Yathrib, which became to be known as Al-Madina. The blasphemers of Quraysh found out about the allegiance and that the Prophet had ordered his companions to go to Al-Madina. They found out about it. So they tried to prevent the Muslims from leaving Medina, from leaving to Medina. So now the news received by these kuffar, those idol worshippers, that the Muslims have orders from the Prophet to leave Mecca and go to Yathrib, to Medina. So they tried to preclude, or they tried to prevent, sorry, the Muslims from leaving to Medina. So many Muslims left secretly because they didn't want to encounter those kuffar. The blasphemers had a meeting and then they decided to kill Muhammad alayhi salam before he left also, just like other Muslims did. So now they had an agreement among themselves that we should kill Muhammad before he leaves to Al-Madinah, before he slips, you know, from their hands. Jibril came to the Prophet and told him that the blasphemer's plan was to kill him. So he told him not to sleep where he usually did. Angel Jibril told him not to stay overnight, sleep in the same place, the usual place. As a result, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam ordered his cousin Ali, who was at the time, how many years old? Remember, he was 10 years when he became Muslim. Now the Prophet is about to leave Mecca to Al-Madina. So how old would have Ali been at the time? How many years did the Prophet stay in Mecca? 13. So if Ali was 10 plus 13, he would be 23 years old. So Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam ordered Ali, who was 23 years old at the time, to sleep in his bed, in his place, and to cover himself with the Prophet's covers. He also instructed him to return to the owners whatever the Prophet was safekeeping for these people. Remember, the Prophet was known as Al-Amin, the trustworthy and the truthful As-Sadiq. And people put certain things with him to safekeep, for the Prophet to safekeep them for them. So the Prophet instructed Ali that those things need to be, should be returned to their lawful owners. And when the Prophet went of his house, I mean exited his house, there were people surrounding, young people with swords, you know, out, surrounding the house of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And they had agreed that they would take a young man from each tribe, and then they would all hit him at once, so that when he is killed, then his tribe, Quraysh, could not fight all the tribes, but they would ask for blood money, and then they pay the blood money, it would be over. So this was their scheme, is each of these young men carrying a sword would hit the Prophet all at once, and then the tribe of Quraysh, Prophet's tribe, would not be able to fight all the tribes at the same time. So it would, you know, demand blood money, and they would pay it, and then it will be over. So these people were, you know, standing there, surrounding the house of the Prophet. When the Prophet went out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blinded these people. They were not able to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi salam even took dirt from the earth, the ground. He took a handful of dirt and sprinkled it on the heads of these people, and they did not see him. And he, while he was doing this, he was reciting the first 9 verses of Surah Yasin. In these verses, Allah tells us that He, Allah, made the blasphemers unable to see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah said in Al-Quran, Yasin, the surah starts with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yasin wal Qur'anil Hakim innaka laminal mursalin ala siratin mustaqim tanzilal azizir rahim litundira qauman ma undira aba'uhum fahum ghafilun. لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون إنا جعلنا في أعناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم مقمحون وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام sprinkled the dirt on the heads of these people while reciting those verses that I just recited. Chapter 14, the Hijrah, migration to Medina. After our Prophet عليه السلام left his house, he went to our master Abu Bakr's house and told him that he had been given permission to migrate, to immigrate to Al-Madina. Abu Bakr asked the Prophet if he could, means if Abu Bakr could, accompany him. As-suhba ya Rasulullah, he said, I want to accompany you. And the Prophet agreed. And Abu Bakr then cried out of happiness that he had that chance now to immigrate with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Lady Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, I never saw a man cry out of happiness until that day, when she saw her father shed tears out of his joy to accompany the Prophet on his trip to Medina. So then they rode their female camels, which Abu Bakr had been preparing for the trip, until they reached the cave of Thawr, which they entered. So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, was going to immigrate to Medina earlier, but the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told him, wait, you will get someone to go with you. But the Prophet did not tell him that he would be coming with him. So he was happy. So he had prepared those camels ahead of time. And now they left Mecca and they went on a route to mislead the, blasphemers. They went to a cave called Cave of Thawr. And heading towards this cave, which was not in the direction of Medina, was meant to throw off the enemy. The Medina is north of Mecca. This Thawr is not towards north. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam on purpose went this way so that the enemy would not know the plan of the Prophet that he's going to Al-Madinah. Because the news that the Muslims were going to Al-Madinah was already with the kuffar, with the idol worshippers. So if they knew that the Prophet was going to Al-Madinah, of course they're gonna, ambush him or follow him, because there was one route to Al-Madinah which people followed. So it would be expected. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did this trick. If you men were secretly helping our Prophet and Abu Bakr. So Abu Bakr and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stayed in that cave for 3 days. So during those days they needed food, they needed the news if people are still chasing them. So there were other people helping them. One of them is the son of Abu Bakr, and then there was a shepherd, and then there was a slave of Abu Bakr that Abu Bakr set free, and then there was a non-Muslim person who knew the way to Al-Madina, a guide. So those were people that were helping the Prophet and Abu Bakr. Now, while they were in the cave, a tree which God ordered to grow in front of the cave's entrance concealed the entrance of the cave. Then two wild birds made their nest in front of the entrance of the cave. The blasphemy